you don't know which way to go. The answer is Jesus and Elevation Radio.
God bless you. This is Elevation Radio 1, and I'm your host, Pastor Steve, the music band Terror, and we thank you for taking the journey. This is a program that spotlights positive people doing positive work while serving a positive God whose name is Jesus. And I just want to get that out there clearly. Our episode of today is called The Necessity of Grace. The Necessity of Grace. And the sub-thought is their trauma in the Capitol. Is there trauma in the Capitol? Before I read the introduction, I just want to say that prayer is brought to you by God, and it is also brought by Healthy DC and me, Leadership Council. Good God Almighty. And so our 1 Peter 5:10 says that if after you have suffered a while, surely there is no suffering in the nation's capital, but in Washington, D.C., is the seat of power and democracy. The home of the most powerful men in America, where the halls of justice are located and freedom and fairness are proclaimed every citizen in the U.S. Surely even African Americans who live, work, and worship there are appreciated, right? Respected, right? Allowed the pursuit of happiness, even there. We are privileged to talk with one of D.C.'s finest civic and civil rights minds, Dr. Rhonda Hamilton, Executive Director of Healthy DC and Mean Leadership Coalition, who graces our ways with an urgent message. And so before we get started, I just want to say, out of courtesy, welcome to our program, Dr. Hamilton.
Thank you very much, Pastor Stephen, as well as your First Lady, Leora. I'm very delighted and honored to be a guest. Thank you for having
me. So
God bless the entire Elevation Radio 1 family.
Wow. Okay. Sounds good. I like it. Before we get started, let us go to the most beautiful part of this program. She's beautiful. Let me ring the bell. That is the lovely Queen, First Lady Leora Turner, who will read our verse to rehearse today.
Or to this end, also, did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things?
Mm-hmm. And so it also says that what he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Good God Almighty. And so let us go immediately to our interview. Dr. Hamilton, if I may ask you a question,
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Okay. Who is Dr. Dr. Hamilton?
That's a wonderful question. Dr. Rondell Hamilton is actually a God-fearing woman who is the daughter of schizophrenia and the daughter of addiction, a native of Washington, D.C., and a servant of the Most High in all that I prescribe to do. That's a great overview.
Okay. And for all those folks who are educationally astute, this is one of the for you. You can call in and ask the doctor any question you want to ask her about life in D.C. 1-914-205-5353. 1-914-205-5353. I see you're doing great work. What school did you go to?
Dunbar Senior High, and also the University of the District of Columbia, which I'm very proud to say, and also
okay.
The School of Hard Knocks, growing up in Ward 8, Southeast D.C., if I must say.
Did you say Ward 8? Are you talking about Anacondia?
Talking about Anacostia.
Oh, well, okay.
The land of Frederick Douglass.
Oh, mercy.
On a given day with so much going on, I guess Anaconda could be considered.
That's where I called her when they sent me down there to work. And I said, snakes are treacherous. It's dangerous. So I heard
it's
back
interesting,
in my car.
But you know, It's interesting. We have our wonderful glory stories as well. I'm a product of the beautiful Anacostia and our dear deceased Marion Barry, who's done some wonderful things to get our story on the map as well.
Oh, sacred. One of the best leaders that I know of. Matter of fact, the reason why I was working for the federal government is because of his influence in this DMV area, and African Americans got government jobs because of the great Marion Barry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can imagine that being such a colorful figure, there are many things that folks want to remember him for, but we remember him for what he did for us as African-American young children, not understanding what, you know, the future would bring. And he certainly did. And as a result, I feel compelled to be out here and forever uplifting his legacy.
You know, it's said that, I agree, that grace basically is based on, you know, that what God has done for you that you didn't deserve. And many of us who got opportunity to work government jobs were not qualified. didn't know how to fill the application. I got my SF-171 form. That was when I released it. It had two sides to it. I couldn't believe it. This would take me like a year to fill this federal application.
Yeah, I can remember my first government job, and again, I attribute that to the dear late Marion Barry. I think all of us, if we're humbled to remember where we came from, it's not so hard to realize the work we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so while you were doing growing this environment, greater accomplishment, what is the crime like there in D.C.?
Now, that's a question. Well, let me say it to you like this. As I currently speak with you, we in the nation's capital are living under a state of emergency as it relates to the gun violence. And then as of recent, in the last 72 hours, we understand we're living under a public emergency as it relates to the Medicaid and the contract as such. So we're really concerned in the city right now with so much going on. Many of our marginalized citizens are not receiving the comprehensive mental health care that's needed. And as mental health advocates, we're concerned that there's so many gaps in our health care, our social services, our housing understandings. And I'm sure our Baltimoreans can relate as well. We've got a problem with the governing of the decision-making for families of low-income means, in our opinion.
Yeah, some people have mental issues when we deal with the schizophrenic behavior of the mayor and city council, no matter what mayor it is. We go from somewhere else, but up to Catherine Pugh and up to Jack No Name Young and to the baby mayor. If they can only show up to some of our grievances when we have town hall meetings and not be arrogant to the point where they just don't want to show up. They want to respond to the media. They don't want to come out and talk to the public. You know, the ones that
The dismissive behavior.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. There's a level of dismissiveness that is just unacceptable that, you know, you're a public figure, and the very issues and people and constituents that you were sworn into office to protect, you know, it seems like they get into office and forget, you know, why they're there.
Well, let me take to another point here, because we're going to get to the trauma side. And this was the necessity of grace was actually a sermon that I never got to talk about, but I'm talking about it today. And the question I was going to ask the audience, which I asked the audience today, are you a wounded warrior? I say there are roughly 2 million single fathers in the U.S. 40% are divorced. 21 fathers die weekly. Divorced men have far greater risk of suicide than women, 6-1. Get that for you. 1-914-205-5353. So in that kind of situation, you can't find a job, you get out of the house, you get child support, everything. You might get a little funny acting when somebody, if your wife or your girlfriend starts saying something to you, and you ain't this, you ain't that, blah, blah, blah. You might, you know, kind of buck up on that with all that pressure on you. You might stuff a bunch of holes in walls. You might want to do a barricade situation. You might want to, what can I do, especially if I'm a veteran and they're not doing my benefits and all that. I did something. My name on the line, and they're trying to disrespect me. I'm tired. That's what I mean. I'm based on respect. I'm tired of being disrespected. What are you trying to do to build something in that area to help a trauma center when it happens or something might happen?
I love that you have touched on it and brought it in the way that you have, because the reality for many families is that they associate matters of what you were demonstrating, which we have attributed to be PTSD. But the important thing it brings to mind Dr. Chapman, Edwin Chapman, who's one of our colleagues, who's for 40-plus years dealt with matters of addiction and community and internal medicine. And one of the things that I recall him saying is that the citizens of Washington, D.C., is, from what he's observed, they're living and surviving daily through matters of PTSD. So we understand PTSD to be associated with our military folks, because usually they're the ones going to war and experiencing, you know, horrific levels of trauma and dangers and death. But the reality that is escalated in our very communities for folks who haven't been signed up as soldiers or to go to war. So the reality that we as a population have cycles and communities of families that are trying to survive those very situations, as you explained, knocking holes in the walls, being unhealthy, not having the proper kinds of outlets and medical resources to be able to relay these troubles to. And this is what we're concerned about. And the most important thing is the fact that our children are having to witness these understandings and be raised by households of unhealthy adults. And for that reason, you mentioned 1 Peter 5:10. For me, getting prepared for today's show, 1 Peter 4:10 came to mind, where it references the fact that each of us should use whatever gift we have that we've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And basically, he created us to live in community and to serve others with our gifts that he's given us uniquely. And so to serve others for me is godly, because we see so many folks going through, and I myself spent many nights in our household growing up not understanding. So we do this work from the perspective of trying to get our adults healthy and aware to recognize where they need help so that we can save our children. And so absolutely, as a result of that, the Capital City Emergency Level 2 Trauma and Wellness Center is our baby project. I'm so excited to be here with you today to talk about it, because I'm so sure that many of our families out there are stuck in cycles of trauma, and we've got babies that we've got to save as well.
My goodness. And so since you're here to talk about it.
Would you say that again? I'm sorry.
I said since you're here to talk about it.
Okay, great. Yes, the Capital City Emergency Level 2 Trauma and Wellness Center is a project that was born as a result of the need. You heard me mention that we are living in a state of emergency. I'm sure many of you, there's not a headline that goes by that you don't hear about gun violence in the nation's capital, or us burying one of our babies in the nation's capital, or us having a heavy load of drug overdosing for opioid, fentanyl, and HIV presence. We've just got a series of things going on in the nation's capital. And the reality is that in Ward 8 Southeast, where we have predominance of African-American families, imagine that, we don't have a level 2 or 1 trauma center to address the lives that are being lost on the spot. What we have is the ability to quickly try to get them across the water to where we have at least 4 trauma ability centers available. And what we don't understand is the lopsided dissemination of resources that continues to go on. And our coalition, when we realized post George Floyd that our communities, we witnessed the destruction
and the outpouring of emotion as a result of their frustrations. And when these moments happen, we've got to stand prepared to respond responsibly. And so when the dust settles in Ward 8, Southeast D.C., in the face of gentrification, we as a coalition of leaders and organizers have decided that we must have centers that address trauma, that are able to address life-threatening understandings on the spot, and most importantly, that are going to call out our governmental elected officials when these resources are not finding themselves to the families that need them. So post-George Floyd is coming forward to say enough is enough.
Okay, let's get into it. my goodness. And so, first of all, how far a drive is that over the water? How long is that for them to come over the water to get the person on Southeast and then them back over that side?
Currently, to get medical care, it could be anywhere from 25 to 30 minutes from many of the reports and research that's been done. So you find yourself in a life-threatening situation in the city and you just happen to be in the eastern sector of the city, you're going to have to take an ambulance ride across the water. And God forbid if your insurance is of question, especially since now over 200,000 people who deal with Medicaid, since that's now a public emergency, I'm not sure where they're routing our family and community members, considering that things are not as stable as they should be. And that's why we're coming forward, because there are things that we're accepting from our governmental administrations that we should not. And if we don't get involved, it's going to put our health in jeopardy. So right now we understand that ride to be at least 25 to 30 minutes, if not longer. And now since the Medicaid contract is in jeopardy, God forbid, we have no idea what they're going to do with our people.
It seems to be a design plan. Well, get the level two trauma center, which is much needed. There should be no problem. You've got a location, don't you?
Because it's coming from the community side of understandings, we're going to deal with much of the dismissiveness that we've been dealing with when we've been advocating and activism about situations such as the homelessness, the slumlord, the reality of the lack of mental health services. They view us as a threat, and I don't understand that because people that are governing are in there. They look like you and I, so they have access to the same history and research that we do, but still they make these different decisions. So that's very interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And as I'm in that mood today, because we had the same problem here, where I called the Oreo cookie complex. you had chocolate on the outside, but this is white and vanilla creamy on the inside. You know? right now, because I've done some research on them. Anthony Allen Williams.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
The first former mayor.
Oh, boy.
CEO of the Federal City Council, it says here, a partner of Friedman, Raleigh, who's actually a premium public realty company, a trust company, a real estate trust company he formed to buy and lease government and real estate for nonprofits. Also in the D.C. law firm of Avant, Fox, and looks like here, it's another name here, but the practice where they actually assisted government entities and municipalities, directors in 2012 at the Bank of Georgetown. Interesting. And
isn't it?
Also he's on the board of the GW. Georgetown, Washington was in the hospital.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So, since my dad is learned, he's been to Harvard, Yale, Juris Doctorate, and all these things. He looks black. he should be able to help you. In his profile, is to help economic. So, is he
I'm sure that our former mayor, Anthony Williams, that you're speaking of with all those wonderful titles, he's more than qualified. The challenge that we are facing in our communities in Anacostia and east of the Anacostia River in the nation's capital is that many of our folks are disconnected from the understanding of the dangers of having folks so educated and documented make decisions for them when they don't show up to the voting polls or make decisions that don't include their very everyday lives. For example, it does not surprise me that D.C. is thriving in the developer understandings and that gentrification is well underway, because this is just as Mr. former Mayor Anthony Williams would have it. The concern is that because we are heavily populated in an African-American sense east of that river, there's absolutely no reason why their plans for the developing and everything else should not include these families. To watch election after election and to watch development after development go on in the nation's capital and see the cycles of despair not change for these families is just awful. It's just awful, and the reality is that they keep doing it because they don't expect that anyone will come to their rescue or that these families will speak up or wake up and call it out.
Well, when you elect bad, you get bad. And so here's something I discovered here, that there was does the name Kathleen Allen mean anything to you?
Say it one more time, please.
Catherine.
Why should a name Catherine Allen mean something to me? Would you explain?
She was trying to get a seat from Lisa. She looks like Solomon. Sherman. I'm sorry, Lisa Sherman. She was trying to run for her seat, and that most of her, it was the investigation, most of her reports, her signatures were proven to be fraud, false. That's the same problem that Mr. Anthony Allen Williams had when he was running, and he had to, he was fined over $277,000 for having stickers, and he had to do a writing.
Very dangerous. No, I wasn't aware of that, but it does not surprise me. And that
is,
Yeah,
we do the research here.
it doesn't surprise me is all I'll say to that, coming from a political town.
We have landed on our feet many fraudulent and unscrupulous. You lie in the beginning, you lie in the middle, you lie in the end. And when you like this, I'm just saying because there's speculation about how Brandon Scott, the Baltimore mayor, somehow went from the back of the pack to the front almost overnight.
We've had a few of those as well.
Yeah. We need support and help. Yet, despite, can you imagine the slaves trying to take themselves? the lower people, as they say. I heard somebody talking about me years ago, European bottom feeders. Imagine the bottom feeders are trying to support themselves, trying to build their own trauma, build trauma to center so that they don't have to come to us so that we won't jump them. What was the Ruby Jones said? You want to get call it a jab vaccine. You put graphene oxide. Pfizer bottles. What is it? Why would you do that? They had poison so they can remember us. And the brain side has same symptoms as the person smoking COVID-19. Well, how'd you know? In New York, look at the base. Put them in the chair so they could take them away. What are they going to do somewhere so they could take the parts out and sell them? Black, get up, wake up, it's time trying to get it.
Yeah.
Trying to push you out. Lay you out. They don't want you. Population control.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Okay. Matter of fact, Dr. Ruby Jones, drjones.com, a person has been 20 years. Someone sent this to me. She said that she has never seen SARS, COVID-19 or whatever, ended up isolated. She's never seen it. So how did it?
Oh, you know, good story. Yeah. And, you know, it's too soon for us to find out the true stories. You know, that's the sad thing, is that there's always somebody that knows the truth, you know?
And it's good to tell some, but some will stick their neck out. One doctor said from Florida, an older doctor, all the stories you heard about 90% effectiveness taken turn around to 19% because there'll be no animal testing. So the point is that if it's 91%, why do I have to still wear a mask?
It's scary. It's so scary. You know, one of the things, you know, our history is rich with understandings of why trust is important in this medical field, and especially at this time. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we can't know everything, and we have to rely on what they're going to tell us in many cases until we can understand from folks that will come forward and speak out. But I'll tell you something, Pastor Steve. I'm sorry, you know, as you talk about us, you know, being referenced as bottom feeders. As bottom feeders, you know, we've got to figure out and use what we have available in the absence of knowing. And one of the things I looked at, and I'll go on record for saying this is my own personal observation, but, you know, these stories of dear Bill Gates and his wife divorcing right at the height of all of this, and him being one of the colorful figures in question surrounding all of these interesting vaccination understandings and developments. I, you know, as a female who's been married and divorced, you know, it's been known that he was, you know, participated in acts of infidelity.
Careful.
But for some reason, when we were at the height of the pandemic, she just couldn't take it anymore and left. So I just really believe that there's something more to that, because to know that you would conveniently participate in what is looking to be mass murder, depending on how you look at it and how it plays out, I can't imagine anyone with a good heart standing by and watching that or being connected to that. So I'm really watching that to see if, you know, maybe that'll come out down the line, because it just really struck me odd that at this moment the marriage was so strained she just had to leave. And those are the stories that they give us on the forefront. But I couldn't imagine being married to someone and finding out that they had a hand in something so heinous, if that ends up being the case.
That was so heavy.
That's
I
my
don't
personal.
Know. I
might be reaching or doing too much, as these youth say, but I'm just saying we have to be careful not to always be so comfortable to accept the story they feed us, because we can't really ever know, but we've got to learn how to start, you know, knowing better so we can do better as a people overall, because they don't ever really come out and tell us the truth.
All right. I think I do ask my lovely wife, the queen. What is your take on this? Oh, mighty queen.
Yes.
Does that mean you were listening?
I was doing some stuff around the house, but okay.
Lord have mercy.
I had one. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
I just caught my ear real quick.
I'm gonna have to demote you, Queen.
Okay.
I'm allowing you for backup.
I'm sorry.
All right. Let me. I'm still out there. Good God Almighty.
It's not time to prepare dinner. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, hold on a second. Let me go to commercial. Good
I'm
God.
Sorry.
Okay. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen, husband, LCC. Hey, Leadership Calling presents a comedy cruise to remember. Oh, my goodness. And all in the name of charity. God have mercy. What we have here, we'll have Lacey Carter. Guest host. Community excited about this trauma level 2 center?
Yes, those that we have been serving are excited. They don't understand exactly all of the wonderfulness that it will bring for them, but they're excited to see that someone's coming forward and putting their issues first. And so I am honored to participate in endeavors such as the one I'm participating with you so that it helps us to get the word out further, that, you know, there's a group of us that have come together to be able to highlight the need in our community. And so we're inviting all to become a part of our movement because it's necessary that their voices and their stories come through.
Oh, my goodness, movement. Okay. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
you're having a – I know it says D.C., but D.C. is just 30 minutes away from Baltimore, which is I'm skipping a jump away from Virginia. So on your board, I mean, what's the criteria to be on your board or to support? You will take support and instance and wonderfulness and geniusness from Virginia and Baltimore if it was to enhance your board. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And I love your questions. Thank you. You know, the nation's capital, should it not serve as the blueprint or the example as we start to seek to liberate communities around our nation that are plagued with these types of lopsided dissemination of resources and realities? Of course, we want talent from all over. We are the Healthy DC and Me Leadership Coalition because this is the origin or point of origin for our project and our coalition. However, our coalition is wonderfully made up of talents from across the sectors, DC, Maryland, and Virginia, and our advocate partnerships come from as far as South Carolina and North Carolina. So we certainly don't want you to get hung up on the D.C. part. We just wanted to make a statement that post-George Floyd, from a community activist standpoint, it's time to stand up and make the needs in our communities visible. And the only way that we're going to be successful is to come together with the intentions of making our contribution to history. The 100th year of the Black Wall Street massacre has just passed. And instead of us continuing to read these stories or orate them, we've got to be ready to make our contributions. And we can't do that without a collective mix of talented our brothers and sisters from across all sectors. And so we welcome and invite you all to take a look at our website, which is healthydcandoutme.org. That's healthydcandme.org. We have an advocate partners page that will allow you to sign right up and help us understand that you're interested in the types of liberations that we're speaking of for our people, because it's time.
I'm going to volunteer my wife because she's related to Fan Hammer. So I'm going to put her on her computer.
Awesome.
And sign up.
Awesome.
Let's say if they can.
I'm going to look forward to taking you up on that. We're interested.
You got that, Queen?
I got that.
Rule with an iron hand. So, okay. Let me see here. Okay, give a shout out to the board. Who's on your board? You know, is that top secret or something?
That's a wonderful question. We have a board of advisors as well as we have our coalition. Our coalition is a wonderful mix of seven organizations that came together. And the beautiful part about our coalition formation is that we each get to maintain the autonomy of our individual agencies. And what I mean by that is I am also the director, executive director and president of MI Mother's Keeper, which is a mental health advocacy firm. And we provide outreach and programming and, you know, all types of resources, and we link them to mental health services. But then we also have a beautiful representation from our clergy community, Overseer Dr. Ann Coles and the Kingdom Outreach Center. They do wonderful work, and as a matter of fact, they have an attachment to Team Maranatha here in Baltimore, which we believe our beautiful Pastor John Young ministers. And so we have been doing great work on the ground as a result of our beautiful collaborations. We've got a wonderful mix of mental health professionals as well as small business professionals. And so, again, healthybcandme.org, our About Us page, gives you the understanding of that. I'm most excited, Pastor Steve, about our board of advisors with folks such as Dr. Chapman, yes, Dr. Moravian Affini. We have wonderful years of wisdom, Dr. Carlinia Springer. We have some beautiful souls that serve, absolutely.
Wait a minute, who'd you say?
Does that sound like a name you're familiar with? Yes, Dr. Carlinia Springer, who I understand Dr. Frederick Ware Newsom. I was just honored with the Queen's Recognition Award from the Newsom Gospel Award community, Dr. Carlinia Springer. I enjoyed it. Yes, I'm excited.
We'll be there.
Where you Oh my goodness! Yes, I was there. I was there. Dr. Bobby Jones.
With
his present.
So all people who are
I was the one who had the oxygen tank. Did you see me?
You know what? I'm sure I did, but I just off the top of my head don't recollect. I wish I had her. I would have come and given you a beautiful
one. She was the one that had the fancy custom design hat. She had the sparkling black.
I'm gonna go back and look at our video.
The sparkling black silhouette dress
necklace
that cost me a lot of money.
I'm
going to
definitely go back and look at the video now.
I'm still putting it together now.
That was a wonderful experience.
I got a great outfit, but I had to eat peanut butter jam.
You know, you
were
smelling some people or something. You all chiming together or something. I'm very honored, and thank you just for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad that you have, in the black community, mental health is not something that people like to talk about. We don't like to talk about families. Uncle Remus, let him alone. Matter of fact, I think it was in the movie, it was the Soul Food, where he had a special uncle who had some problems. He had money somewhere. So we've had it. We don't like to talk about it. And if I may say this, support. I'm no longer in need of this now because I'm married. Thank God. But I'm saying that when I was there, I met a very attractive woman who had mental issues. Stalker yeah. material. So it's not a label. The point is, well, you can say, she's a nutcase. Get us to the trauma center.
Well, you know, Dr. Stephen, and that's why it's important, and that's why we talk about it. Because, you know, when I came up as a daughter of schizophrenia, you heard me mention, we didn't have fancy words. No one knew what schizophrenia was. It was, she was the crazy lady. And so in our community, when we don't understand something, we start creating our own terminology for it. And we're not always so sensitive to people's feelings, because what we're trying to do is mask our own feelings. Because like you just said, many of us have stories of maybe a relative, an uncle or an aunt or someone that we knew had challenges, and we just didn't understand it all, so we created the dialogue for it, you know? And that's why I'm out here doing the work, because our children are the benefactors of such harsh understandings, and systemically the stigma is so thick that it doesn't create an environment for people that have challenges to really be comfortable, and that's why we're out here doing this work. Yes, our beautiful community members sometimes get plagued with challenges, and they don't understand how to maintain relationships, and some need medicine, and some need counseling, and some need to be able to have certain resources available. Therapy is not something that folks look at favorably in our community, but it makes a lot of difference. We're finding out new developments in how yoga helps out, and meditation is great. But if these aren't things that are in our vocabulary or in our understandings, then we're not able to have access to how to get healthy. And so that's why we're out here doing the work, because we've got to change the dialogue of people just being referenced as crazy or stalker, or there's a reason why things are happening and why people are acting out and making the choices they're making. And certainly there's a connection, in our opinion, to the gun violence.
This is true. Now we have a phone call. Welcome to Elevation Radio 1. How can I help you? I had suffered three or four losses from 2007, 2008, 2009, and I was having problems. And I was doing stuff, but I was having problems. So I went to see someone because I was acting out. And I see that for a year. It took me in the proper flow. But while they were diagnosing me, they came up with some stuff I didn't like. And Dr. Hamilton said I had ADHD. They said I had Asperger's, which I never knew. They said I had some pity and other things. And so I was feeling pretty bad. I said, I'm supposed to be a pastor, musician, singer, recording artist. And I got all these issues, man. Perfect until these things happen. And so I went to a seminar for other pastors, and I was – these were some notable pastors in the city of Baltimore. And one of them allowed me to sit next to him. I was like, this is great. And the guest preacher came out, a white man, and said, I want you giving the whole thing about how you should put your sermon together. And finally, he said, on Monday, I want you to do absolutely nothing. And I know it's hard for some of you preachers, because y'all don't got anything to eat. Nobody said a word and put the head down. And I said, I'm in good company. Good God, I qualify. Okay. There's hope for me. God uses the word first. God uses the word first. Okay. My wife looks at me, and I'm sure a lot of women, her husband's like, okay. My wife is looking at that. She's like, what is he doing? Oh, Lord. Who did I marry?
Pastor Stephen, you know what you just described is validation. Now, no matter what walk of life we come from or what we're dealing with, we're all seeking validation. on some level, whether we realize it or not. And the truth of the matter is, in our mental health community, we're always teaching folks that they are much more than their diagnosis. And so it's one thing to hear that, but to get validation that you're accepted somewhere and capable of receiving love. And I just think as a human population, sometimes when mental health is involved, we forget those very basics. You know, we don't have to understand what's wrong with an individual to show empathy or to express love.
Thank you, Doctor. Another question here in this sermon, which is, how are you getting to the top? How are you getting to the top? And it says here, but by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. So you don't have to backstab anybody. You have to cut people up and split the church and all that just to get to the top. Lord have mercy. Says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's how you got there. Because of the faith of your mama, the faith of your grandmother. Somebody prayed for you. That's how you got there. So be respectful. And
absolutely.
Yeah, let me say it again. There's no need to backstab your coworker to try to get ahead. And so, to keep that in mind. When you say validate, I'm so glad you said it because, I don't know, I think I'm okay as a husband. But I find that I am constantly thinking the validation of my wife make me feel like I'm doing all right. I say, how come you? Because medical report says you need at least 4 today. I'm like, I gotta get hugs, sweetheart. I need 4 hugs. But that was a long time ago, sweetheart. Now I say, and so, and women constantly get the validation from men.
Do you love me? Am I pretty?
You know what I'm saying, so. Mm-hmm. How many times do I got to tell you I love you? A million times a day.
All day.
Amen.
Oh,
validation. You know, I'm sitting there trying to watch TV. She might kind of snuggle on me. That's one of my pillow.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. You know, what you're referencing, what is it, 2 Corinthians talks, was it 12:9, talks about, you know, basically we're not made to be independent beings. We really aren't. And so what you speak to is just really the extension of that. Of course, all of us are seeking some level of something because we can't do this by ourselves. And that's the importance of community. And
Wait a minute. Well, I understand what you're saying, but Your government would want you to stay in the house pandemic style by yourself and don't talk to nobody.
Come on, with opioid overdoses being a disease of isolation. Come on now. And that's why we got to talk about this stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. We're not supposed to be by ourselves.
When I watch these animal shows, the predator, the lion, and the cheetah, and the duck, they all want the weak. Done and isolated. You're a perfect target.
Well, you know what? Divide and conquer. You know, right now you talked about, you know, the reality of us getting to the top and how will we succeed and recognizing God's grace and the role that it plays in all of that. But the truth of the matter is we as a community have got to be accountable for the fact that we have been at odds for some time. We've got to come back together, and there's power in unity, but we've got to deal and heal these divides amongst us. And so we've got some work to do, no doubt, but with God's grace in the midst of us, there's nothing that we're not going to accomplish. And that's what so many fear, you know?
Oh, the necessity of grace, good God Almighty. I think I've seen the destruction of some parts of society that's working. You start to repeal the blue laws, greed, because at least one day was given to God for worship. And then the pursuit of, or the introduction of the soap operas. Because I used to work with a lot of women doing HMO and they wouldn't want to take care of their children, worrying about what's one, the fake story about, I mean, I got to be honest, I got to be real about God Almighty before, nowadays, but it was also white people, what the fantasy was and blah, 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 and his, and what, you look at him trying to get what he got now. Close it. I told one lady, shut the TV off. I won't come here too often. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help you with your insurance plan for your children, and that's more important than some fantasy TV. And then the cable and all that. You sit there and watch that all day. You don't do nothing. You don't want to study. Don't want to cook. Don't want to.
Yeah, it gets dangerous, believe me. And that's why we don't, you know.
Yeah, then you do study the Bible.
Yeah. It gets really dangerous.
Yeah. And then you want God to bless you. So, now, here in Baltimore, I got to go here. We have some Baltimore trauma chaplains who go out to different homes to respond to crime and part one crimes. I see one of them. Then they have the chaplains to train to do trauma and some other things like this. In training, a police officer looked at a video and she got all emotional and somebody asked, "What do you need trauma help? You're supposed to be an instructor and you melting and breaking down over the video." That's a problem with police officers. I mean, because I see one. The problem with police officers is that once they get too far in, there is no you know, like a tune up or debriefing. There's nothing to have them actually seek counsel. Once a year, once every 6 months.
I'm so glad you pointed that out. One of the things that I feel like gets lost in the conversation of whether or not we need police reform or defund the police or, you know, with everything that's going on, the one thing that is bothersome for us as mental health advocates, what in the world allows us to believe that our police officers, our first responders, our fire department representatives, our EMTs, they are not void of experiencing or being exposed to the same levels of PTSD and trauma that we're saying our community members are exposed to? And so there are not no organized mandates for themselves to have to have therapy, be assessed mentally, and to have some sort of understanding of a release that is documented, then what allows us to believe that they would not make bad decisions out in the field? So, again, we feel like, you know, mental health is at the core of everything that we're trying to stabilize as a society. And until we're willing to have these conversations and reality checks, then we're not going to get ahead of them. Our police officers must have mental health assessments. They must have exposures to proper trauma trainings and understandings. And they must work hand in hand with the community level advocates because everything is not a policeable situation. And the statistic and the research is showing that our community members are being locked up or sent to jail more often than they're being offered mental health resources and understandings. And the reason why many in the community, in our opinion, don't identify with the need for the mental health resources is because many in the community don't understand what mental health truly is. They're still using yesterday's understanding of mental health to be able to treat today's realities. And exposures are just as dangerous as actually being diagnosed with something. If you don't know what's wrong with you and you're acting out, that's more dangerous to the community and yourself than if we do know and we're able to properly help you get the help that you need. So awareness, that education that you speak on, we're just living in some times right now, and we all have to humble whether we wear the badge or not. Mental health transcends all communities.
Hallelujah. Listen, I've got humor is important in mental health. And so I'm going to try these two icebreaker jokes here. Love and mercy. Queen, are you with me?
Come on with your joke.
Did she leave me?
Queen, you didn't?
Okay, so leave me alone. Okay. All right. Here you go. So a pastor got up in the pulpit and immediately apologized for the band-aid on his face. He said, "I was thinking about my sermon. While shaving service, the treasurer found a note in the offering plate, and it said, 'Next time, think about your face and the sermon.'" Okay. We're working.
Okay.
We're working.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. It's too long with it. All right, let's try this one. Okay, I got one. Is there anyone in the audience for Randy? He wrote to the pastor, "I enjoyed your sermon, especially when it was finished."
That's just me.
His name to it, probably the only person in church named Randy. But this is traumatizing to a pastor. All the work I studied, I did everything I could. I gave you the best. I prayed, and I put it together, and this is what a thanks I get for it.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, humor helps. We're really living in some time, so to be able to laugh at ourselves or laugh amongst ourselves is therapeutic in and of itself. You know? Because we're going in and out of some households and some environments that are really dealing with some things still. We've lost a lot of lives and a lot of loved ones. And the reality of being able to laugh and understand that life is going to go on no matter how hard and unfair, we've got to be able to have a point that we can come together. So I thank you for your humor. I love it.
Bless you. You can go back to him anytime. Okay. It's all right. Matter of fact, you will come back. You'll be back next week.
I'm going to hang out with you the entire month of September. I thank you. I hope your audience is kind enough to allow me to grow into this. I'm a little rusty. I just know that we're doing is necessary. I don't mind being a representative or a steward for it, because mental health is not something folks like to talk about. But the truth of the matter is that it's second nature, and as long as we can get more comfortable, we can help save more lives and change more lives. So I thank you for having me along.
No, it's no problem. We will have some updated stuff going next week, because you'll be the celebrity co-host, and we will have actually a gospel group here. That will be in the house, and we're talking about that. Listen, go to our Elevation Radio 1 Facebook page. Go to our Elevation Radio 1 podcast showcase page. If you're looking for an organist for your services, please give me a call at the on-call organist. That is at 1-410-302-2737. 1-410-302-2737. If you need someone to do commercials or host your program as a masterful MC, call it 410-929-3061. That's 410-929-3061. That's Ben Turner Ministries. And to our website at www.ultimatepraise.us. I just said ultimatepraise.us. I said, Queen, what you got to say?
I think Queen probably say you got it. Queen said you have it today.
I will have to chastise her tremendously.
No, she's right here with
I have some female listeners here, who are always wanting to get a Queen something to say. Let me try King James. What dost thou have to say? Verily, verily, mighty Queen.
You sound like. I can't hear you clearly. I can't hear you clearly.
What are you trying to say?
What? What are you trying to say, Queen? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to give you something. Please say something.
I don't understand what he's saying. But you sound like you're on the water. I'm sorry. You really sound like you're in the water. I can understand you.
This is comical in and of itself, so it's just an extension of your already humor.
I am getting traumatized, Dr. Hamilton.
Whatever's happening is not.
I'm trying to help my wife
good.
Say something, and she don't want to say it out the way because she's talking about me.
Talking about me, I heard that.
I'm a professional host here.
A banana?
A media journalist. What?
Are you saying?
We've all been plagued by this technology god during this pandemic, and, you know, why should it be any different in this moment? Nonetheless, I've enjoyed myself, and I think that we were waiting to hear from you, dear queen, before we wrap up.
Hey, say something in Spanish.
Are you saying to say something in Spanish?
Yes.
Are you telling me?
Hola.
Let the other lady tell me, because I don't understand you. Let the other young lady talk to me.
I'm your husband. How can we get down to
you? Oh, my God. I can hardly understand you. I hear you,
yeah.
But you sound like I can't explain how you sound. Because if
say
I tell you breaking
it.
Up, you'll get
Don't
me.
You say it. Don't you say it.
Can I'm
you,
not going to say it.
Can you interpret this, please?
Yes, good point.
That's what you're saying. I know you're laughing.
Before we wrap up.
Did you hear that?
Oh, can you say it again?
Oh,
please.
My Lord. Oh, my God.
This technology is
I'm
something
sorry.
Else. Just, no, you're fine, dear Quinn. I thank you again for having me, and I think that your dear other half was asking you to say something before he wrapped us up.
Oh, absolutely. I'm on the program, but really hard for me to understand him.
Okay, we got
but
that
I
already.
Understand you, and I do. I enjoy listening to you, and really listening to you is very encouraging. Just want you to know that. And
that means a lot.
Looking forward, and looking forward into hearing you speak again, once again.
Oh, well, that's the last. Thank you, O Queen. That's the last thing I'd like to ask you. Do you actually do speaking engagements?
I do, and obviously most of the speaking I've been doing has been in relation to the work that we're doing on the ground, but I am available. I can be reached either directly at 240-274-9436. Our coalition's phone number is 202-643-5396. And again, I'll give you a couple of websites so you can follow what we're doing and why we're calling it a movement. MI Mothers with an S, keeper.com. You'll be able to follow me and get in touch with me and our wonderful mental health work on the community level. CapitalCityEmergency.org. You'll be able to see all of the wonderful information about our fundraising efforts for the Trauma Center. And I hope after you see all of the hard work, you will find your way to the donate button and help us to support the cause. In addition to that, healthydcandme.org, spell and out, and you'll be able to get a whiff of who our coalition is and sign up via our advocate page. And we call it a movement. Because, again, we recognize the reality that the issues we're dealing with on the ground involving mental health and state of emergency in the district, we realize that Baltimore and some of our other urban settings are dealing with the same concerns. And post George Floyd, there's just no reason for us to feel like we can't do something different to help these matters of trauma in our communities. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate you.
No problem. And give my regards to the advisory committee and the one of the persons you may have to work with the hardest, Quincy.
Yes, Quincy, absolutely. We have a lot of wonderful talent and decorated individuals that are in the background of our movement, making certain that the foundation that we have is solid. When you go out here talking about you're going to build a trauma center and you look like we look, you better know what you're talking about, and you better have some thick skin about you.
Right. Most definitely. And before I close, did you say the project where I know something that's on your advisory board?
Say one more time.
Did you say that Dr. Fred Ware Newsom is on your advisory board?
Dr. Frederick Ware Newsom's counterpart, Dr. Carlinia Springer, serves as one of our advisors, and she also serves on our And My Mother's Keeper Mental Health Board. Very active, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, well, all right. Then, listen, it's been real. We'll see you next week. God willing, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time for the Elevation Radio program. And let me thank you again and extend it to the tally that you so richly deserve as a leader and shaker and mover in the D.C. district. And next week we'll talk more about cruise, which my wife is scared of because she doesn't like water.
Oh, sorry to hear that. We're going to make sure that we do something that we can all be a part of. But, yes, we have quite a bit of events going on, and I look forward to talking with you next week. And folks can get more information on any of those websites, or they can reach out to us via telephone.
Yeah, I'm going to go and try to convince her to go on a cruise.
Oh, that would be wonderful. We'd love to have you. I've enjoyed you guys.
You've never seen her live in person. But I just want to ask one thing before I go. And that is, what type of food will be there? Because that's important. On the cruise.
Oh, my goodness. The kinds of food that's going to be light, because we know many of us women, when we go out, we don't like to eat too heavy. But it'll be light. It'll be fulfilling. It'll be nourishing. It'll be fun. It'll be atmospheric. And what that means is that I understand every now and then I want to have a nice chicken wing in my hand. I want to have a nice hors d'oeuvre. I want to be able to have a nice variety. Maybe if I'm not a meat person, I want to be able to have a veggie or a fruit. And so I just want you to know we're thinking like that with the menu and putting all that together. So it will be very complimentary. We don't do a lot on the water. As you say, many of us are a little frightful of the water. But we're trying to do things to be bold, as our dear deceased Mr. Lewis told us, that we've got to go out here and get into good trouble, and we've got to be able to be uncomfortable sometimes in the place of doing good. And so we're just trying to bring us into atmospheres that we're typically not.
Okay. So this is a networking business, good time. My wife likes, she likes to eat.
We all do. She doesn't own that, that's for sure. But yeah, we're going to have a fashion show. I bet she likes fashion. We're going to have a live band. We're going to have four comedians. Our dear Asia Chandler from the radio personality. We're celebrating the Libra birthdays. I'm a Libra. Oh, my God, we've got some community icons that we're going to give some awards to. So we just, you know, we're calling this to celebrate the cruise for charity, and we're celebrating Libras, divas from our fashion show and our icons from the community. So there's going to be something here for everybody. And, again, the history books have taught us the ancestor shoulders that we stand on. We've got to create these types of moments for ourselves now. What contributions are we going to make when we know in the face of what our people are facing? But come on out and have a good time and do something different. We get so stuck in our own selves sometimes. This is bigger than that. This is about God's grace. He delivered us, and now there are some more folks that we see that need delivering. So I thank you, Pastor Steve.
Oh, it's no problem. Just one question pops in my mind. I'm trying to end this program. Will there be any music singing?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be a live music band, and there's also going to be a DJ. And the reality of having both allows us to provide a wonderful mixture of music, because sometimes it can't always be church and sometimes it can't always be secular. So we like to have a mix of both, because we're the community is involved. We've got to stay open-minded enough to bring everybody. And so fellowship is something that we as a people tend to do well. So we're excited about this opportunity on the water. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm bringing my business cards.
Please do. Everybody needs to know you. I'm glad to know you have business. Everybody I know needs to know you. You are an awesome soldier of God, and just the wonderful conversations we've had off the radio have been so empowering and enlightening. So, yes, by all means, bring your business cards, because you are a resource that our community needs to know.
Can you tell my wife that?
Look, I'm going to say she observes you from a different light. I learned that from Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, which is talking about the knocks on the door. You paint today, your wives can paint a whole different picture, so we better, you know, that's the kryptonite. Superman.
Let me say this as I close out, and I will be closing out in seconds. Judge Mathis, who's around the globe and celebrating around the country, said when he comes back home, he thinks his wife's going to do something. To honor him, as Eric does, the chief says, take the trash out. You may be
well,
being
you
up
like
there.
You don't take that trash out. You know how we do.
You may be big out there, but you just Greg, okay? My husband. And so that's great. All right. My wife will say it in Spanish, so I'm just going to have to leave now. Can you tell me you love me at least in Spanish?
Can I tell you?
No, can I ask my wife to tell her husband that she loves him in Spanish?
He might be reaching. She told you she couldn't understand you.
No, that's why I'm asking you to do it.
Oh, can I tell her
to tell me her beloved husband that she loves me in Spanish.
To tell me. You want to tell me?
He has a request. Yes, he has a request that he'd like for you to tell him that you love him in Spanish.
I'll just tell him me amor.
Woo! Okay, I gotta go.
I think that he's showing off. He wants everybody to know how educated and worldly his wife is, and so he wants you to be able to
get another. Oh, my God. It's funny.
It's such a lovely